Today I want to talk about the idea of expressing yourself, expressing ourselves. I started thinking about this as a topic the other day when I was in the Lexington Hotel in Manhattan. We had had a continental breakfast in the lobby area, and because it was so packed with people, we had to sit in the lobby bar eating yogurt, fruit, and granola while we had coffee. And that was not inconvenient. But there were some people talking on cell phones near the bar, conducting lengthy business conversations, so I felt it was loud. They were expressing themselves, but I didn't like that I had to hear it. I wanted to control how they were expressing themselves. As I was walking back to the elevator to return to our room on the 7th floor, I saw a man walking into the lobby from the elevator area. He had on aviator sunglasses, a green baseball hat with words and a logo that I couldn't make out. But what I really noticed was his demeanor. He was tough. He was acting tough, like a person going into a gunfight. I sensed that his outfit was practiced in front of the hotel mirror. He was adjusting his hat and his glasses and his posture until he got it just right with the just right tough guy attitude. That's what's so wonderful about being in Manhattan, the tremendous variety of human expression. When you look at people and the way they dress and the way they carry themselves, and you look at the buildings and you look at the cars going by and all of this and all the stores and what's for sale, that is a guarantee that people watching in Manhattan is going to be very successful and very interesting. It's almost like being in a living, moving art gallery with all the exhibits of being human beings in the acts of expressing themselves by the way they dress, by the way they walk, by the way they talk, whom else they're walking with, the speed at which they're walking. All of that adds up into this amazing, moving picture of human activity and expression. A little while after that, I watched the second of three promotional videos for Making Videos. Of course, making videos in internet marketing requires a person actually express themselves. We learn in childhood to be willing or to be unwilling to express ourselves. Expressing ourselves usually involved connecting to somebody who is willing to listen, who had enough time and mind share to give us attention, or at least to engage on some more or less equal level. If we were criticized or we were attacked emotionally or physically for expressing ourselves, we would learn that defending ourselves either involved attacking other people first or not expressing ourselves. I thought about playing high school football. This thought came to me when I was exercising, and it brought up the idea of will, W-I-L-L. In football, the person with the strongest will tends to have his way with his opponent. And I was thinking, somewhat regretfully, that I didn't express my will as strongly as I could have. When it comes down to it, there are probably a small number of energy patterns that we express. Now, if I were to call those primary energy patterns, maybe that's a better way to define it, because, of course, there are essentially an infinite number of energy patterns overall expressed by life. If we look around at plants and animals and human beings and clouds and on and on and on, of course, all of those are energy patterns as well. We express our beliefs. That's part of this primary energy pattern that I'm now categorizing. We express our beliefs. We express our will. We express our purpose. We express male energy. We express female energy. I would say we don't really pay attention. we express our attention, we express our intention. Overall, in a nutshell, I could have said, we express our consciousness. My father was a very strong man physically. When he was violent, he was very scary. My mother accused me of being just like your father, and that frightened me. I didn't want to be capable of doing what my father was capable of doing. I didn't want to do those same things. It was frightening, and I could see it was not making people happy, including himself. And even as a little boy, I experienced my own willfulness, and I experienced the regret that often accompanied my willfulness. I did something willfully, and then like, oh, wow, I woulda, shoulda, coulda. Many years ago, actually many, many years ago, I went to a world-famous psychic in Brooklyn. His name was Irwin Greif. He asked me what happened about the age of 8 to 10. Lots of things. No, he said that something happened that split you in two. Instead of feeling like a winner, completely like a winner, you were split into two, and now you had a part of you that believed you were a winner and a part of you that believed you were a loser. What happened? I didn't know then, and I don't know now. I don't know exactly what event he was referring to. I can imagine a whole bunch of them, but I'm not sure any of those indicated to me that particular event that cleaved me into these two fragments, if you will. I'm guessing that when we're reluctant to express ourselves, it's because of fear. We may fear that we will regret the way we expressed ourselves. That's easy enough to do. It seems to me that I had periods, maybe years, where at a party or a social gathering or something or a business meeting, I would express myself, and then later on that night or the next day, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have said it this way. I could have been, and really being extremely judgmental about the way I expressed myself. Really judgmental about my communications. And even today, I find myself to be very controlling with regard to the idea of communication. I want to talk about what I want to talk about, and I want to listen to things I want to listen to. So when people are talking about stuff of not interest to me, I either zone out or move away or try to shift the conversation back to something that I want to hear people express themselves about, or I want to express myself about. But this idea of regret is the emotion that we feel after the fact when we judge our acceptance of what we did before. So on Sunday, we can experience regret if we judge Saturday's behaviors with the awareness that we have today. Well, now that I know how that turned out, now that I know the fish that I had in a restaurant last night was overcooked, I regret ordering fish. Or I regret not saying, please be careful to not overcook the fish. Very easy to judge with this greater level of awareness after the fact that the behavior that we had before we had the awareness. That's really easy. You know, hindsight makes geniuses of us all, that cliche. So looking over our shoulder at what we experienced, and we did it at the best that we could at that moment, our level of awareness was our level of awareness, and we certainly were working to have our needs fulfilled. Later on, we realized, well, that didn't work. I should have, I could have, I would have. That's really not a fair way to judge. And of course, if we want to do that, we can always make ourselves wrong, because minutes after a behavior, we are now aware of the effects of that behavior, and we go, oh, no, I could have done it better. I should have done it better. I should not have done it at all, and on and on and on. And so that tendency to trip ourselves up or to go into regret or go into harsh judgment, critical judgment about our self-expression is not going to make us more skillful at expressing ourselves. In fact, it's going to make us shy away from it because it's going to be painful. There's no question that we need to be able to learn from our ability to express ourselves, and as we practice and, you know, trial and error, we're going to get more and more skillful. But if we use our judgment to cause ourselves pain for the way we expressed ourselves, we end up with pain. If we use our viewpoint to identify what we did right and what could have been done differently and what effects that might have caused, then if we learn from it, that's a whole different experience. We're growing. We're not criticizing and denigrating ourselves, and we're not driving ourselves into self-protection because of self-rejection, self-attack, self-disapproval. Let's assume, just for a minute, that the fear of regretting, this is a big deal, this is a big deal, the fear of regretting. If I do X, I might regret it, right? So I think it's a big deal, but let's just assume for a minute that the fear of regretting our self-expression is what negatively affects our will to express. That's a phrase, I got it in quotes in my mind. Will to express. You hear about will to live, will to die, but will to express. And you would go, wait a minute, will to express. I think this must be a part of life. You're watching a seed that gets watered and put in soil and warmth. It is now starting to germinate. What is that? Could you say it's a will to express? I could. And you watch flowers bloom and chickens hatch out of eggs and all kinds of things going on. It is this will to express. Maybe that's what human beings are when we're conceived and we start to grow in our mother's wombs and then we are born. We have a will to express. And maybe it is the will to express in mothers and fathers that caused pregnancy in the first place. Ah. So, anyway, let's assume for a minute that the fear of regretting our self-expression is what negatively affects our will to express. So, here are a series of questions. What do we regret about past experiences of acquiring energy? I'm going to use my energy model of life. Acquiring energy is absolutely essential to life. It is what we do as long as we're alive. It is what we do from the moment of fertilization right on up to our last breath. So, what do we regret about past experiences, past expressions of acquiring energy? What do we regret about past experiences, past expressions of preserving the energies that we've acquired? Do we have regret about them? What do we regret about past experiences or past expressions of translating those energies? What do we regret about past experiences or past expressions of expressing those energies when we said or did or didn't say or didn't do something? What do we regret about past experiences or past expressions of releasing those energies? And what do we regret about past experiences or past expressions of closure? If you were to consider those half a dozen concepts, those questions, go, And if we could pinpoint areas, maybe you could rate them 0 to 10, 10 being most positive, and now all of a sudden you're looking at, nope, very little regret, very little regret, very little regret, ooh, a whole bunch of regret, it would give us a focus for some of our healing activities, some of our releasing these energies to divine consciousness for healing. I bet we could also test 0 to 10, the will to acquire energy. Wouldn't it be interesting to consider yourself, like, the will. People say, I'm broke, I don't have any of this, I don't have that, on and on and on. And turn around and it's like, what is your will to acquire energy? And if it's very zero, very low, right, 0 to 10, 10 being most, 0 being least, if you're down at 1 or 2, you go, so that's the issue. Maybe that's what I need to heal. So I bet we could rate 0 to 10 the will to acquire energy, the will to preserve that and protect that energy, the will to translate energy, the will to express energy, the will to release energy, and the will to achieve closure. Each one of those six things could be viewed, and you go, maybe that's the issue. Maybe my will is not focused. Maybe my will is too low for what? Some reason having to do with past regrets, having to do with fear, having to do with lack of understanding, lack of awareness, whatever. But I think the cause could come into focus if we were to examine those ratings of those six areas. Maybe we could take it another step. Maybe we could test 0 to 10, 10 being most, our purposes for acquiring energy, our purposes of preserving and protecting energy, our purposes of translating energy, of expressing energy, of releasing energy, and our purposes of achieving closure. 0 to 10, 10 being most, where are we? And we're like, if we don't have a purpose, it wouldn't be all that complicated to understand that, like, where are you driving your vehicle? I don't know. You seem to be directionless. Whatever. And it is that lack of purpose, that lack of understanding of where we're going and or why we're going there. Maybe that's a good time not to have a real, real strong will. You know, this joke about somebody driving real fast, where are you going? I don't know, but I'm going to get there very quickly. That's dangerous, actually. If we're going willfully in a given direction, but we don't have a sense of what direction that is, maybe we're like a hamster on a treadmill or acting in such a chaotic fashion, and potentially dangerous fashion. It's like, maybe, if I had a sense of purpose, then my will could, that's what we're doing. Oh, well, I'm all about that. And then all of a sudden we shift into high gear. And I think that if we could answer these questions about past regret, the impact of our will to express and our purposes, maybe we could look into the future. And here's a question that comes to me. If we express ourselves by fill in the blank, what possible regrets might there be? If we express ourselves by fill in the blank, what possible regrets might there be? In any project planning process, if you're going to do anything, you're going to take into consideration possible wrinkles, something goes wrong, you know, I'm going to anticipate problems or delays or other things that could impact this activity. Instead of just, I'm not giving any consideration to that at all. I'll wait till they occur and then I'll react to them. That's not the best planning process. If we can anticipate them, then we go, now that I know that that exists, this is how I would handle that. Okay, this is how I would avoid that. This is how I would make that a non-issue. That's the value of being able to anticipate these possible problems. And if we knew what possible regrets would come up to us based upon our past experiences, of course. That's what we would be drawing on, our comparison material. We'd be using our experiences from childhood about regret and our lack of perfection, perhaps. And it's like, oh, since I know that now, when it comes up, it's not going to imbalance me. It's not going to destabilize me. And it's certainly not going to get me to quit. That would be cool. I would ask this question as well, maybe multiple times. If our purposes for expressing ourselves are, and then you could fill in maybe multiple blanks in a case like that. If our purposes for expressing ourselves are, fill in a blank, fill in a blank, fill in a blank, what possible regrets might there be? It seems pretty clear that we can have elevated purposes, or we can have, lower purposes for doing what we're doing. And the likelihood is a higher purpose is less fraught with danger of regret than a lower purpose, because, oh, wow, what was I thinking? I was a completely primitive point of view. I was like a caveman. So maybe we should start with the possible purposes of expressing ourselves, right? Why do you want to express yourself? What purposes could you have? Maybe it's that vision of us expressing ourselves that we need first. I got this vision of me expressing myself. In what way? Fill in the blank. If I were to turn to Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth, I think I could find that God would encourage us, or Christ would encourage us, to realize our purposes are caring for the well-being of the creations of divine consciousness. Divine consciousness is working to care for the well-being of its creations. I'm a creation of divine consciousness. Maybe that's my purpose. I think so. Christ would also encourage the purposes of balancing the self-interest of others with our own self-interest. Yeah, that might make some harmony, right? He would encourage the purpose of brotherly love. And ultimately, he would encourage us as we move to the purpose of fulfilling and being in a state of unconditional love. You go, wow, this is cool. Those are pretty clear purposes, yeah. But if we're controlled by our egos, our purposes are going to be those four driving needs. You know, to defend ourselves from criticism, emotional, physical attack, push other people aside so we can come in first in the race of life, take the best for ourselves despite the opposition of other people, and hold on to the possessions, the energies that we've acquired, people, friends, family, property, money, status, influence, power, all of this stuff. And in the short term, you're like, I'm proud of myself, you know, I took advantage of that person. But that's going to lead to a lot of regrets when we awaken from that ego-induced robotic behavior that is much more primitive than the behaviors that we're capable of. The purposes, that is, the processes the divine uses to care for its creation are growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, all within a spiritual system of law and order, the law of cause and effect, which is commonly known as we reap what we sow. If divine consciousness has those purposes and those processes, and this is how it is expressing its will to care for its creations, guess what? If we align our purposes with one or more of those divine purposes, I think we will learn how to take the brakes of fear off and then be willing to express ourselves. If our will is aligned with those energies, with divine will, our chances of regret are far less than if we listen only to our ego, only to the materialistic urgings that we have and are hearing through marketing. It's a whole different ball game. So really, the question that has to be answered, I suppose, is this: when it comes down to expressing ourselves, what does that even mean? If we are consciousness and our connection to divine consciousness is, in fact, what is seeking expression. Now, if we know that's what I'm expressing to my fullest potential at this moment my connection to divine consciousness. And that ability, of course, through practice, will get greater and greater and greater. That's what we're doing. We're expressing ourselves, that highest part of us that we're capable of expressing. Then there's no issue about regret, just joy in being supportive of the well-being of other creations of the divine. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our help, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.